Parashat Vayigash. So the Rokeach is one of the opinions that is brought down in Halakha, writes in his Halachot of Tefillah, that one, when one is ready to pray, every time he's ready to pray, meaning Shacharit, Mincha, Arvit, what should he do? He should take three steps forward. Why should he take three steps forward? So it's learned out of this parasha, this week's parasha, three steps forward. Right? We always do that. Take three steps back, three steps forward. Why taking three steps forward? So he explains, because it comes, in Hebrew, to take a step forward means hagasha, hagashot, right? So the another way of saying that word is vayigash. Vayigash is the first word in this week's parasha, and it refers to the when Yehuda took a step forward towards Yosef. Why did Yehuda take a step forward to speak to Yosef? Because he wanted to plead his case for Yosef to release his brothers, Binyamin, right? And especially Binyamin, because he promised Yaakov, his father, that he's going to bring him home. So Yehuda, right, he took a step forward in order to go and to beg and to plead his case in front of Yosef. So the Rokeach says that there are two other people in Tanakh that the Torah also says that they took a step forward in order to go and pray, right? So Yehuda is one of them. He went to go and pray, to request from Yosef, from his brother. Two other people are Avraham and Eliyahu Navi. Okay, Avraham Avinu and Eliyahu Navi. So therefore, we find the word Vayigash, taking a step closer, approaching. We find that three times regarding tefillah, regarding prayer. Right, Avraham, Yehuda, and this week's parasha, and also Eliyahu. Three times we find it. So therefore, the Rokeach writes that therefore a person, when he's about to go and pray, he should take three steps forward, which symbolize the three people in Tanakh that took a step forward in order to go and pray. Okay? So the question is, I understand Yehuda. Yehuda actually physically took a step forward to go and speak to Yosef. Why? Because Yosef was the person, he's a human being, and Yehuda was a little bit too far away from Yosef, so he took a step forward to go and speak to him so that he could be heard a little better. Avraham and Eliyahu, their steps forward were not towards another person, it was towards Hashem. Right? They were taking a step forward to go and pray to Hashem. So therefore, what was the need for them taking a step forward? They didn't need to do that, right? If you're talking to another person, then you take a step forward to go and speak to them. But Hashem is everywhere. Hashem is not here, in 10 feet in front of me, in which I would have to take a step forward to go and speak to them. Speak to Hashem, right? Hashem is everywhere. Wherever I am, I could speak to Hashem, right? So by Avraham and Eliyahu, why was there a need for them to take a step? Why was there a need for a vayigash? So I saw this explanation given by Rav Elimelech Biderman. Rav Elimelech Biderman writes as follows, or he says as follows, it was written over, that the word hagasha, the word vayigash, doesn't necessarily mean a physical step forward. What does it mean? It means disconnecting yourself from a certain place in order to connect yourself to a different place. That's what it means, right? So Yehuda, let's start with Yehuda for a second. Yehuda was disconnecting himself from the actual, the actual place that he was standing in, right? He was uprooting himself from that place in order to what? In order to connect himself to Yosef in a deeper way, so that he could go and give his requests over and beg Yosef, and hopefully that would work in terms of releasing his brothers, right? But the same is true by Avraham and by Eliyahu. It doesn't mean they took a physical step forward. It means they disconnected themselves from everything that was going on around them in order to what? In order to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to connect to Hashem. And that's why that's connected to tefillah, right? Because what do we do by tefillah? What do we do by prayer? We take three steps forward. Why? Because they all took three steps? They all took a step to go and pray to Hashem? No, they didn't take a step, right? But what they did do was that they disconnected themselves from their surroundings, from their environment, from the things in their mind that were in other places, right? They uprooted themselves from those places in order to what? In order to connect to Hashem on a higher level, in order to connect to Hashem in a deeper way. That's what it means. And therefore, when we take three steps forward, before we pray, what we're really doing is what? We're telling ourselves, okay, right now, I'm preparing myself to go and speak to the Creator of the world. I have a meeting with Him, right? So Hashem is everywhere. What do I need to take three steps forward, right? Hashem is right here where I am. I don't need to go take three steps forward. I'm not getting any closer to Hashem. Yeah, but it's a reminder. It's supposed to act as a reminder for you to disconnect yourself from everything else in order to connect to Hashem. And that's the essence of tefillah. That's something we have to live with. We have to understand that tefillah, we cannot just carry, you know, the suitcases that we've been carrying the entire day, the suitcases of thoughts and calculations and worries and anxieties and stresses. We cannot just carry those and bring those into tefillah, bring those into our meeting, right? We have to leave those things outside the office of our meeting and then enter the meeting alone without anything that we're holding on to. We enter that meeting with only one mission and one mission only, connecting to Hashem in the deepest way possible. Connecting to Hashem in the deepest way possible. That's why, if you really think about it, the Gemara in Brachot writes that which tefillah out of all three tefillot are on the highest level? Shacharit, Mincha, or Arvit? Which one? Which one is on the highest level? Which one? In which tefillah are your prayers are bound to get answered more? Mincha. Why Mincha? Do you ever think about it? So the Gemara says because Eliyahu Navi was answered during the Mincha time, right? Eliyahu Navi was answered because he had that whole argument with the other people that they brought an avodah zarah on the mountain and he brought a korban for Hashem, and he said, you know, let's the whole showdown with him and the other people, and he said whoever's sacrifice, you know, is going to be burnt. Whichever one, a fire is going to come down and burn it. That's a sign that he was the right one. And Eliyahu Navi was answered during Mincha time. So therefore, during Mincha time, we see that Eliyahu Navi was answered during then. It's a etvatzon, the Gemara says. It's an opportune time for your prayers to get answered. Fine, beautiful. Let's understand this on a deeper level. Mincha, what happens during Mincha? Shacharit, you wake up, the first thing you do in the morning is you pray. You don't have so much on your mind. Arvit, when do you pray it? At night, right? When you come home from work, before you go to sleep, you pray Arvit. You leave, you know, everything at work, and you go and you pray, and then you go home. Everything's, you have somewhat of a clear mind. Mincha, smack in the middle of the day, okay? You're in the middle of a very, very intense business meeting, okay? Comes 2:30, 3 o'clock, whatever. In the winter, it's much earlier. Mincha, Arvit, back-to-back could be at 4 o'clock, 4:30, right? It could be in the middle of your workday, and you say, hold on one second. Right now, it's time to pray. Right now, it's Mincha time. And you stop whatever you're doing, and you take your suitcases, and you place them outside of the office of your meeting place, and you enter that room, and you have a meeting, a one-on-one meeting, a private meeting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Creator of the world. And you don't bring your worries with you, and you don't bring your business deals, and you escape, you uproot yourself from the place that you've been standing in the entire day in order to what? To connect to a different place, to connect to the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Vayigash. A person does Vayigash on the highest level, right? He takes those steps forward to approach Hashem. When does that really come out in the boldest way? During Mincha time. Because that's when you're in the middle of so many different things. That's when it comes out the most. That's why Mincha is the highest level of prayer. Right? Because you really, it takes it to the extreme. And that's why if you think about it, Eliyahu, it says Eliyahu, why is Mincha, how do we know, the Gemara says, how do we know that Mincha is the highest level of prayer? Because Eliyahu was answered during Mincha time. Eliyahu was one of those three people that Vayigash is written about him. Eliyahu is one of those people that knows exactly what Vayigash is, knows exactly what it means to disconnect in order to connect. That's why Eliyahu. So this concept of disconnecting from your workday, it could manifest itself in so many different ways, to each his own. Right? Let's just go into one example. One specific example, cell phones, right? Cell phones, we all have one, okay? We don't have flip phones anymore, those days are over. I don't know if any of you guys ever had a flip phone, right? At least when I got my first phone, it was a flip phone. It didn't have anything. All it had was text messages, and you had to pay extra for text messages, you know? It wasn't even standard with a plan. Like, you were able to make calls, zehu. Like only the
and not even you'll save like 100 minutes a month or something.
Right, right, right. Like only the busy, really busy people added text messages on their plan. And it wasn't only like you get like 300 incoming and like 500 outgoing. It was like a whole cheshbon. I had to really, you know, make sure that I kept my text messages under the what?
Like 20 cents per text.
Yeah, yeah. If it's like if you're over the 300 texts per month, then it's like
so crazy, a crazy amount. Today,
that's how they get it, right.
That's
exactly.
Was.
And like the first person in my class that got a camera on his phone also, that was like the biggest thing. The biggest thing, a camera phone. Wow. That was the biggest thing. Nowadays, what is it? But anyways, long story short.
It takes like 1,000 times better pictures. Nothing that camera.
Long story short, we all have phones these days, okay? Phones, Baruch Hashem, phones come with so many different features, so many different benefits. We have so many different benefits on our phones. We have such unbelievable ways of what? Of communication with our phones. So many different ways to communicate with the world, with our friends, family, right? If you really think about it, you could connect to people today, in a matter of seconds, right? That 20 years ago, it would take you months to get connected to them. Okay, months. That's what we're capable of doing nowadays with the technology, with the phones. But if you really think about it, the phones and the social media, as beneficial as it may be, which it does, it has a lot of benefits. Social media, technology, and phones, which it really allows you to connect to places that you've never been able to connect to, right? However, it holds you back when you're trying to connect to something specific. It really does hold you back. So for example, again, I'm going to be very specific. Person walks into Beit Knesset, walks into Shul, walks into Shiur, he walks into class. Okay? Is there 10 minutes that go by without you checking your phone? It's very difficult nowadays. It's become very, very difficult. And I'm speaking for myself also. It's become very difficult to go 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, you know, without looking at your phone. You're always, you know, trying to stay connected with everyone on your phone.
You're always excited for the next
text. Right? You're always trying to stay connected with everyone on Facebook. You're trying to stay connected with everyone who tweets things out. You're trying to stay connected to everything that appears on your phone. However, that comes on the expense of you staying connected to what you're trying to stay connected to at the moment. So if you're in class, right? Nowadays, you could put your phone in your pocket. You could get WhatsApp on your computer, right? So you could make believe you're typing notes, but you're really sending people WhatsApp messages, right? It's so hard. It's so easy to connect yourself.
It's so easy
to connect yourself to places other than where you want to be. And because of that, it's so hard to connect yourself to the place where you want to be. Right? It's so hard, so difficult. And that's Vayigash, these words, this Vayigash, this concept of taking the three steps forward to tefillah has become more difficult than it's ever been nowadays. More difficult than it's ever been. To take those three steps forward in order to go and pray is so difficult. Not the actual three steps forward. Baruch Hashem, we all have legs and we're able to walk and take those actual three steps. But to disconnect yourself to the world that was around you in order to go and connect yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for tefillah has become so difficult. Has become so, so, so difficult. That's why the worst thing in the world, worst thing, is to go and pray Shemona Yisrael tefillah out of your cell phone. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, it's awesome, it's so convenient. You'll never find yourself in a place where you don't have a sidur. It's horrible, right? It's horrible because, like, let's say you don't know it by heart, or it's very important to read it inside, to read the words inside. Therefore, if you have it on your phone, you're always going to have it, right? Yeah, Baruch Hashem, it's very beneficial. Very beneficial. But what about that little text that you get while you're in Shema Kolenu, Hashem Elokeinu, Chus V'Achem Aleinu? You get a text from your friend, hey, did you hear the latest on Yitzchak and his girlfriend? You know? And bam, right there. Messes up your whole Shemoneh Esrei. Done. In the garbage. Throw it out. Finished. Right? Done. Or you get a news ticker from Dan's Deals. Like, you know,
buy a ticket 50% off.
Yeah. You know, guys, you gotta hurry up. Please hurry. This deal is only gonna last an hour. El Al made a mistake on their plane tickets, and now tickets are $250 round trip to Tel Aviv. You're not gonna think about, you're not in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, you're not gonna think about that? right? And if you're into media and entertainment, and you're in your, I don't know, you have an app about who knows what. I don't even know the like Fox News or CNN, and you know Donald Trump just said this or Donald Trump just said that. You know, that's not going to get you thinking. It's not going to get your mind out of tefillah. So you're trying to connect yourself to Hashem, to tefillah, but you didn't disconnect yourself from the things that were around you, and that's a big problem, and that's going to hold you back from connecting. I once saw a sign outside of a Bet Knesset, right? It says like, please shut off your phone as you enter, and like the slogan was, disconnect in order to connect. Disconnect in order to connect. There you go. It's right there. Disconnect to reconnect. You know, remember that. It's a very important thing. There are actually studies that back this up. There's one study that proves. You don't need a study. You don't need a study to figure this out. But just in case you're a little, you're uncertain about the validity of my points, there's a study that proves, and multiple studies that prove, that social media or involvement in social media affects academic performance. That means that it's the more involved in social media you are, all right, the worse you're going to do academically, the worse off you are. In your studies, there is no chiddush, but people need facts, right? They need backed up. They need information that's backed up. In another study, so people think, listen, Facebook is so good, right? And I'm not stating my opinion on Facebook at all. I'm just stating something that's not so beneficial at Facebook. It's so good. Why is it so good? Why is it so good? Because Baruch Hashem, I'm able to connect to my seventh cousin across the world that I never even knew existed, right? That's amazing. That's amazing. It's really an amazing thing. If not for Facebook, then you would have had so many relatives that you didn't even know existed. Baruch Hashem, it's an amazing thing. Not only that, I'm also able to know every single thing that's going on, you know, in the life of this friend, in the life of that friend, I'm able to stay connected to them even though we're not really so fine. But there's a study that shows that social involvement in social media negatively affects face-to-face communication. Okay? Face-to-face communication. That means that it ruins you. It ruins your social life. You think it's enhancing your social life? It's ruining your social life. Because you're not going to know how to have a face-to-face conversation with a person. Because everything's over the computer. Everything's in technology. So you're thinking you're connecting, but you're really disconnecting. It's really ruining your connection with other people. It's really ruining your connection. That's why I always say this. In relationships, right, people are dating. So when people are dating, very often, you know, after they get by the first couple of dates and they break that barrier, so they start texting more and more often, more and more frequently. There's nothing worse in a dating process than texting. There's nothing worse than that. Why? Because what are you trying to accomplish while you're dating a girl or a guy? What are you trying to accomplish? Trying to build some chemistry. Trying to build the relationship. Trying to enjoy each other's company. All right? Trying to get a feel for each other's personality. You don't get any of that through texting. There's so many times that I'm sure you guys know this, that a person sends you a text, you send them a text, okay? And you read it and you're like, wow, why would they say that? Does that mean that they don't like me anymore? And then you're wondering, and it drives you crazy for the next 3 days. That one text, that one line text.
You read it over.
That you, when you ask them, like, how did you enjoy tonight? And all it said was, okay. That's all it said. So you're thinking, like, okay, why didn't she write great? Why didn't she say she had an amazing time and she wants to marry me tomorrow? Right? Why was it just okay? But really, she's saying, like, listen, I it's so late at night, I gotta run to the shower. Yeah, it was great, I had an amazing time. Let's just write, okay, I'll get the point across. But you got a whole different point. You got a whole different message, right? So you're trying to connect through messages, but the messages get lost in the messages, in the text messages, you know? And there's nothing worse than that. Specifically at that time of that dating period, when you're trying to build that chemistry, when you're trying to build that relationship between each other, but you're not. It's really, it's real miscommunication. It's not communication. You know? Okay, you have to listen. You want to write through a text. It's easier sometimes, more convenient. Like, hey, I'm downstairs. You know, whenever you're ready, or like I'll be at your apartment in 10 minutes. You know? Or like, would you rather go to a meat or dairy restaurant tonight? You know, like. Questions or answers where no emotion is necessary, no tone of voice is important. Obviously, texting, there's a benefit that it's very, very convenient. Or you're at a meeting and your wife's calling you, you know, and or you're the girl that you're going out with is calling you or whatever, and like you could text right away. I'm in a meeting, or like whatever it is. I'm in class, and yeah. But to have full conversations through text messages, you think it's connecting you more? It's not. It's really disconnecting you. Really disconnecting you. So just something to take away. To try to be makpid, specifically at times of tefillah. Specifically at times of tefillah, at least in this Bet Midrash, at least in any Bet Midrash, when you walk in there, understand that you're really hurting yourself, you're really stunting your growth, you're really holding yourself back from taking that next step. You really are. If your mind is still connected in your cell phone. If your mind is still connected, you're really holding yourself back. You're really causing yourself a lot of harm and preventing a lot of good from happening. So think about that. Something to think about. You go into a class. You think like, okay, I don't want to disconnect myself from the world, right? I don't want to disconnect myself from the world that I've been in the entire day. But think about it. You're in school. Your parents are paying tuition, or you're taking student loans, whatever it is. You want to make the most out of it, right? Speaking to friends, you could always speak to friends. You could always connect to friends. It has to be during this hour that you're in class, during this hour that you're in shiur, during these 45 minutes that you're praying in the morning. It has to be during that time. You can't push it off. What's going to happen if you push it off 45 minutes for an hour, for 2 hours? What's going to happen? It's going to be the end of the world. What you're going to gain during that time is not comparable to what you would have gained by staying connected to social media. You're not going to gain that much. You're not going to gain as much. Obviously, there are emergencies or exceptions. You have to understand what you're missing out on. There's so much to gain. There's so much to gain. And obviously, there's so much to gain in social media also, so much to gain in technology also. There's so much to gain. You know, like never before has Torah been so accessible. Okay? You could be walking on the street. You want to listen to a shiur? One click there, one tap here, one tap there, bam. You have Rabbi Eli Mansour shiur. You know, on the parasha, whatever it is. You know, one, again, like we said before, you want to find one Gemara, one Pasuk in Tanakh, whatever it is, you download an app, it has all of Torah on it. I mean, not all of it, it's impossible to have all of Torah, but has a lot of, you know, definitely all of Torah Shebichtav on it, and a lot of Torah Shebalpeh on it. One tap here, one tap there, bam, you run a search. Where does it say the word Yitro? And then bam, you find the Pasuk, you find that Rashi that you were looking for. So easy. So easy. I can't even tell you how easy it is to find, you know, different, you know, gemarot or whatever it may be. You just type in Google. In Google, you type in a pasuk, you type in the first two words of the gemara, and bam, it's going to finish off the sentence, and it's going to show you exactly where it is. It's so easy, and 100% there's so many benefits. However, understand that it could work as a disadvantage sometimes. So that's what we learn from the parasha, from Vayigash, that Yehuda took a step forward to Yosef, right? And Avraham and Eliyahu, they took steps forward in order to go and pray. Not physical steps, but what Vayigash means is that they disconnected themselves from the world around them in order to reconnect to Hashem. So it's something to take away. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Have a great night.